All right. We were begun the study of James last class a week ago. We were just getting into the introduction part. We were discussing who wrote the book. James wrote the book. And we were getting a little more detail about looking at the different Jameses of the Bible, identifying them, listing the attributes or unique attributes of each James, and then maybe we could come to some conclusion, or not, of which one wrote the book we're studying. Let's see. We already skipped ahead and covered number four, James. He was short and easy. The James, which is the father of Judas the Apostle, there's only a couple verses about him. That's all that's...
The father or the son?
The father. Judas was the apostle and James was his father. That James. And there's a few verses of him, and that's all we know. We don't know anything else. We were looking at topic James number one, which was, as we looked at these verses already, James was an apostle, the brother of John. And on almost all cases, when the apostles are listed, this James is listed, it's always mentioned as James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which is their father. We looked at some verses that identified their mother as Salome. They were called the sons of thunder by Jesus himself. And was going to look at a few other verses, list some other attributes that or some things that were noted of them. If you would turn to Matthew 17, verse 1. I know we stopped right around here, so I just selected this verse because I know we started to look at it, but I don't know if we finished it. But Matthew 17, and verses 1 and 2. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And of course, what's going on here?
Transfiguration.
Yes, transfiguration of Jesus, right? And do we see here that Jesus brought all his apostles? We see which James? Or who do we see?
Peter and James and John.
Yeah, Peter, James, and John. And the James and John are identified as brothers. So that's the James we're looking at. These are three of the apostles who got to witness his transfiguration at this time. Must be a inspiring thing to see that. And I wanted to list it because certainly that is unique to these three men. It wasn't done for any of the others. And just kind of special. It's unique. Mark 5, verses 37 and 39 through 42. Someone want to read that for me, please?
What verse?
Mark 5, 37, and then 39 through 42.
And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion, people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? Child has not died, but is asleep." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded.
And so, what is unique to this James that we've read here?
He was there when the little girl was brought back to life.
Yes, he was there when someone was raised from the dead. And again, yeah, okay, what does it say specifically about, what did Jesus say here? Did he bring everybody along? No, he selected a few, chosen few, and James and Peter and John seem to be the ones he chooses on a lot. I don't know what that means exactly. We assume they have a close, special relationship with our Christ and Lord. And again, it's just one point that identifies this James versus the others, where we may or may not see other things. And then we mentioned this last time, Acts 12 and verse 2. It's one of the last points we're going to read about this James. Acts 12 and 2. Verse 1, now about that time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So what happened? He was killed. And looking at this verse in Acts 12, assuming some linearness to the time frame, what time frame does this give that James is put to death?
Some say about the year 44.
Fairly
early.
Yeah, fairly early. It's just after Peter's starting, they'd gone to the Gentiles. It's before the Jerusalem Council, which is in Acts 15, which we read a lot about in from Galatians. So it's pretty early in the ministry and the spreading of the gospel, which can help us, or not help us, give a dating of when this book was written. But those are some of the unique things about James, the son of John. I'm sorry, James, brother of John, one of the apostles. We have, let's look at Luke 6, 13 and 15.
Michael, before you move on, you made a comment a moment ago about these three that seem to keep coming up in his inner circle. Not to make too much out of that, but it is interesting that Jesus had favorites. He loved all men, and he loved all of his disciples, but yet there's a few he seemed to have spent more time with, maybe a little closer affiliation with, and would it be inappropriate for us to say that, that's human nature. We should love everyone here equally, and yet we spend more time with some than we do with others. Human nature. That's not a good thing or a bad thing. And not to belabor that point, but Jesus did.
Yeah. And you saying that I don't want to go into too much, but Jesus Christ was Jesus was our teacher. I know other teachers that sometimes certain people to get more attention, they're the ones who need more help or in this case, they see more potential in some than in others. You focus more effort on these ones, they may develop and be great. And I don't know if that's necessarily playing a favorite or not. Some things we don't know. But that certainly is pointed out on this James and his brother John. And he was the first to be martyred, as we've seen in Acts 12. We were going to Luke's. Thank you for those comments, Rod. That's fine. It's good. I like comments, everybody. You have a comment, you have something you want to say, just go ahead and say it. Luke 6 and 13, and also in verse 15. Someone want to catch those verses for me?
And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose the 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. And Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot.
Right. Who do we got here? Yes, we have another James, the son of Alphaeus. And so we know his father. What else do we know from this passage? Correct. Yes, he's one of the 12 apostles. He's one of the original 12 that Jesus chose. Let's look at Mark 15, verse 40. Yeah, Mark 15, verse 40. After Jesus' death, said, there were also women looking on from afar, or this is actually at Jesus' death, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and Salome. And of course, we've read something similar to this, you know, after his death, when these same list of women were said going to him. But what do we read about this James?
James, the one they call the Less.
Yes. Anything else here?
The son of Salome.
No, not that one.
Mary.
Son of somebody else. Son of Mary, correct.
Oh, yeah.
And one other thing. He had a brother. Is everyone scared to pronounce it?
Yeah. Joseph.
Yeah, let's call him Joseph. Joseph, Jose, something. Now, a note. There's no clear way to identify this as the same James from the apostle, the son of Alphaeus. I've assumed that, being that we've looked at Salome was the mother of the select James and John, and it's also Mary Magdalene, who we're assuming these are sort of women who are of the group, involved in Jesus' preaching around those same men. I can assume that this may be the mother of this Mary is the mother of James the apostle. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, then this is another James, which we know these couple little bits about him, and not much else.
My margin notes is Jacob.
Oh, it calls this James Jacob?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's even more confusing. So.
Yes, I like that. I wanted to also point out, I didn't mark this verse down, but in Matthew 2:14. Just to make things more murky, the waters a little more. Matthew 2:14. Right. I'm sorry, I'm at Mark. Yeah. Mark 2:14. I hope. Yep, that's it. This is Jesus is out, at the beginning of his ministry. And he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he rose and followed him. And this Levi, the tax collector, is the Matthew, of Matthew 10, verse 3, where he's called Matthew the tax collector, where Jesus, in his verses in Mark, he goes to his house, he's with him. This man is the son of Alphaeus. Does that mean it's the same as the brother of James? No, I don't think so. There seem to be a lot of Jameses. There's probably more than a couple Alphaeuses as well. I just thought to point it out, just so it makes things less clear. Or just so you're aware of it. Yes.
Rewind back to Mark 15:40.
Mark 15:40?
Yes.
All right.
The James the Less.
Yes. Mary, the mother of James the Less.
Right. Did you say that you weren't sure if that was the James?
The apostle?
Yes.
I'm not sure, no. I assumed it.
Because
of the grouping of these men.
Well, when we teach the kids how to name the apostles, there's two Jameses, and one is the one they call the Less, and that is in that group that we teach them.
Well, this is the only reference to the Less. So if they've grouped it that way, it's because they've assumed this is that James, and then they've grouped it into the other apostles.
in that song. It's James the Less.
You sure it's not James the son of Alphaeus?
No.
There's two of them.
Oh, I'm not saying that that's incorrect. I'm saying I've assumed the same thing that maybe whoever wrote that song assumed, that this is the same James, the son of Alphaeus, who's called James the Less. But can you look at this verse and tell me that's an absolute fact? No. Yes, Mike?
I would suggest that the James of Mark 15:40 is the same James of Mark 16:1.
Correct.
Because of the same context?
Because of the same grouping of the same women.
Mm-hmm. I think listed on the handout as being possibly two separate James.
Sorry?
Yeah.
My handout?
Yeah, Mark 16:1 is on your number one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but for a different reason. Because that is the link to Salome. In Matthew 27:56 and Mark 16:1. Matthew 27:56 doesn't say Salome. It says, and the mother of James. You get to Salome by coming to Mark 6:1, where instead of in the same position where it said mother of James, it says mother of James twice in that Matthew passage. Then here it says mother of James the less, and instead of saying mother of James again, it says Salome. And from that I've assumed that that first James, his mother was named Salome. That's just confusing about it, is because in several places, you know, he lists the Jameses, and there's multiple Jameses referenced in a single passage. And I think that's the case with these two sets of verses. And even in Mark 16:1, it says Mary, the mother of James. It still doesn't tell us clearly that that's the James the Apostle, the son of Alphaeus, James the Apostle, or if it's someone entirely different, some other woman who believed and was a disciple and happened to have a son named James. I don't know. But based on the grouping, I say it's not far-fetched to believe that this James the Less is James the Apostle, son of Alphaeus. I was just letting you know. We can move on. It doesn't change too much. But for that James, he's an apostle, and I did find it sort of interesting. And I think about it, there's not much mention about this apostle James anywhere else, but there's not a lot mentioned about a lot of the other apostles either. There's, you know, the other Judas, not the Iscariot, and you don't ever hear him except when he's mentioned with the 12 after Jesus' resurrection. We know the apostles went out and were preaching, but we don't know any details about a lot of the other particular apostles. Any comments? The Lord decided we didn't need to know everything about everybody. We just needed to know enough that can lead us in our lives.
It's common about all the men you've talked about so far, they're all Jews.
Yes.
So, and that will play into the introduction of the book. So, from that standpoint, any of them probably could have written it, but...
Yep, that's correct. At this point, they're all Jews, you know, descendants of Abraham. James, number 3. Look at Mark. Where am I? Mark 6, verse 3. Yeah, yes. Josh?
What is your connecting thought between this James the Less and this other James, son of Alphaeus? Because you're saying those are the same guys, right?
I'm assuming they're the same guys. And what do I connect it to is that I was saying that these mothers, or there was Salome was the mother of James and John. That's one of the apostles. Then there's Mary Magdalene, who was influential, you know, frequently mentioned as always as a disciple of Jesus. These are people who were, you know, followers of Jesus, and I assume James is the other James, the apostle. Well, his mother was as well.
Okay.
But like I said, it could be an incorrect assumption. Okay. It's a best guess. Like I said, if it's wrong, then we have this one James becomes two. There's James Less and there's James the Apostle. We don't know much more about either one of them. James under item number 3 in Mark 6 and 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us, so that they were offended at him? In verse 4, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. So what do we know about the James identified here from this passage?
James, the Lord's brother.
Correct. This is James, the Lord's brother. You know, our half-brother, however you want to do it. Share the same mother, Mary, and they have some brothers. Why am I saying everything? Someone else, tell me. What else about this James? He's the Lord's brother, and...
Well, Joseph is also mentioned as being his brother, but he was the brother of another James.
He was the son of Alphaeus.
We're looking at 5 or 6 different Jameses here. There's probably more than one Joseph as well.
We can do the same thing for this congregation. And for someone that didn't know Mike Head versus Michael Gove, and probably you got some large families here, I mean, we would be confused too.
Yeah. When is Michael teaching? Right now or next quarter?
Right.
Yes. To both. But it's not the same person. Yes, there's going to be some names, and especially Michael, that's common. So Joseph is also, Joseph is common as well. We see it again. Your comment, you know, does that lead us to believe that this is that both have the same brother named Joseph, they both have the same mother named Mary? Is it the same James? Doubtful. Because when you look at, like we looked at Mark 16:1, where it's talking about the women who are going to, they're watching Jesus from afar, and anyway, like I said, it's Mark 15, and then also in 16:1 where they're going to serve on him, on his dead body, you know, okay, look, they're watching Jesus die, and there's Mary, and they didn't identify her as, and she's watching her son die. Instead, they identify her by other people, by her son James, and son Joseph, not son of Jesus. It seems that would be unusual, I think. Again, it could be wrong, but I think using reasoning behind that, I don't think that would be the case. I think this is another one. They happen to have the same mother and brother's names. Yay. Galatians... Verse 1 and 19. We don't even have to turn it because we all remember it so well, right? Oh, not too far. Someone want to read verse 19 of Galatians 1 and then also verse 9 and 12 of chapter 2?
The other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision.
And so, what have we seen about this James? What identifying marks have we been given?
This is the Lord's brother.
Yes. Yes, Lord's brother in verse 19, and verses 9 and 12 of chapter 2. Remember, Paul was going on about those men who seem to be pillars, who seem to be something in the church, and James was identified there, James and Cephas. They seem to be pillars. They were, and remember, if we discuss that, They seem to be someone, the leaders in the church, men of some renown, people that other people look, men who other people looked up to within the church. Of course, it doesn't say that's James, the Lord's brother, in chapter 2, but given the proximity of the two and what's going on there, that you have to reasonably assume it's the same brother, and it's, you know, the brother of Jesus Christ. What else is specified about this James in verse, in the 19?
He was the only apostle.
He's the only apostle that Paul saw on his first trip to Jerusalem. Yes, and I guess I didn't really glance at that so much, but James, the Lord's brother, wasn't named as one of the original 12. And then when Judas passed on, and Matthias was, you know, took his place, then they had 12 again. And here we have another apostle. It says he saw no other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I didn't mean too much when we were studying Galatians, but I just never thought about it so much as, oh wow, he's been selected as an apostle, perhaps after the previous James had passed away. If we're assuming, like we specified, that Galatians was written after the council, and James, the son of Zebedee, died quite a bit before the council. Mike?
Just a point that I don't know how good it is, but some in the Greek say that this verse 19 in the Greek is not written to identify James, the Lord's brother, as an apostle. The wording would be something more along the lines of, I saw none of the apostles,
but I did see James.
But I did see James, the Lord's brother, something like that. But they say that in the original Greek, it doesn't identify him in the same manner.
Yeah, it's, I can grant that, and it doesn't hang much on it. I mean, it's an interesting thought, because we know, and I looked at it and said, well, you know, when one apostle died, they selected another one. James, Lord's brother, was around. He probably met all the qualifications. So it's possible, and it may not be the case. We won't put too much onto it. We know this James, the Lord's brother, did have a position in the church. He was a leader based on the other verses we've seen. Whether he was an apostle or not, he's still someone of some import, if we can say that. And of course, Paul said that, yeah, no, we're all men. We're not important. But still, we put people in levels of importance. And of course, in Acts 15:13, when at the Jerusalem Council itself, you know, it's made mention that James, verse 13, and after the congregation becomes silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me." And he went on and gave a talk about, you know, how God was declared amongst the Gentiles and the things that occurred, you know, disputing the need for the Gentiles to have circumcision and follow the laws of the Jews. It wasn't the case. We say that's the same. I believe that's the same James, the Lord's brother, given the identifying remarks that he was at Jerusalem, just as Paul says, he was there and I went and I met him. So this James has, like I said, some level of importance. He addresses the congregation. He has some level of authority, whether it's apostolic or not. We know elders have authority, and they're not apostles, so, and other servants.
Even sometimes the word apostle can mean different things, and I think it's Acts 13:1, and I think it's King James, I'm not sure, but some of those terms that describe some of the men in Antioch, I think you may find apostle. Maybe that's not the... I believe there's a passage, I thought it was Acts 13:1, where Barnabas is called an apostle. And yet, we tend to dismiss that as well. That's because apostle can have a little broader term. So, yeah, I think we have to be careful that we're not trying to make everything fit here.
Well, I just mention it as a possibility. We're looking at things that could potentially mark these different Jameses. And I don't know, if you read a lot of the different commentaries or whatever, they're going to say one of these men wrote the book of James. I think, based on the study, but looking at the authority that James, the Lord's brother, had within the church, and that the way James was written, it was very... someone with authority, you make a lot of imperative statements, do this, do that, these are things you need to be doing, I think it could be that James, unless it is, in fact, James, the son of Alphaeus, the apostle. It could be either one, and we can't really prove one way or the other, so you just have to make kind of best guesses. And so I submit that it's James, the Lord's brother, based on his authority. And, based on the other mentions we have, we don't have anything else about the other James, the apostle, the one that's still alive. I was going to get to it. A matter of timing, a lot of other people believe it is the James, brother of John. That he was the close relationship with Jesus. But that would place the date of this book very, very early, before his death, which was in approximately 40 A.D., and we'll get to looking at that in a minute when we get to when this book was written. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to jump around too much. So that's what I submit, right or wrong. It's a best guess. You can make your own guess. Doesn't matter that much to me whether I'm right or wrong. I mean, I want to be right, but, when you have this sort of uncertainty, you can't put a lot of pride into whether you're right or wrong.
It was Acts 14:14 where... It says, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul. That's what I was looking for. So.
And I was aware of that. I remember studying it. So, yeah. Recipients. Looking back at James. Verse 1. Who was this book written to?
12 tribes.
Yeah, 12 tribes of which are scattered abroad. So what does that mean? I mean, to the Jews, look at Acts 2, verse 22. It says, of course, this is Peter on the day of Pentecost. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did through him in your midst. And of course, here, who is this men of Israel? He's talking to whom?
Jews.
How else would you describe it? Verse 36 of the same chapter. Yes. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know. You're right, it's Jews. What else could we say?
It's Israel.
It's Israel. It's the men of Abraham, sons of Abraham, correct? Direct descendants from the 12 tribes.
We know it's not literal Israel, because in chapter 2 of Acts earlier, it lays out all the places, and they're not in Israel.
Yes.
They're geographically separated from Israel.
Yep. Yeah, it's not the people right there. It talks about the dispersion. They're separated. Also had 26 and 7 in Acts. Let me look at that real quick. Sometimes I write stuff down. That's not it.
Yeah, I mean, it talks about Acts 2:5.
Well, never mind that one.
There were Jews living in Jerusalem without men from every nation.
Yes, correct. The Jews had been dispersed. And when you look, where was that verse? John, verse 7:35, when Jesus, before his death, he's talking to, going around teaching the Jews. John 7, verse 35. Then the Jews said amongst themselves, beginning of verse 34, Jesus is saying, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am you cannot come. And then the Jews said amongst themselves, where does he intend to go that we should not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? And so there was this dispersion, this out away from Israel. This idea that there are Jews in other countries we know about. When the apostles first went out and started preaching, they're all over the place. This could be written to the Jews, the physical Jewish men and women. However, there is another alternative, Matthew 19:28. Someone want to read Matthew 19:28 for me, please?
But Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yep. So is this the physical man? Yes, no. We'll read Romans 2:28-29 as well. Romans 2:28-29. I'll wait for everyone to get there. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men but from God. Also of Romans 9:6-8. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. So who is and isn't of Israel here? Yes. This Israel, you know, was it just the men of the circumcision here who were considered Israel? Head nods don't come up on the recorder. Yes. These are more than just, you know, men of the circumcision, the sons, you know, the offspring of Abraham. These are, you know, stating men who believe in God, you know, Gentiles or Jews, they're together. Those who believe in God are of Israel. Those who even are of Israel are of offspring of Abraham, but who don't believe, well, they're not of true Israel. You know, that one verse is some are Israel and some aren't Israel who are Israel. You know, we know what he's saying there. That's what he means. It's, you know, in spirit. Who is really of Israel, who is really saved by faith. And so, through these couple of passages in Romans, and I think also in Matthew, where he's talking about, you know, the apostles judging the 12 tribes, you know, this is in the afterlife, it's assertion that, you know, these are not, when he talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, it's not necessarily those are the circumcision, those who are Jewish, who are the offspring of Abraham, but those who are saved, who have faith in God. Which one is it? You know, who's he writing to? Well, I don't know. Let's continue to look. What else can we find out about the men of this, the recipients of this book in James 1:18? What? Sorry, does someone have a comment? James 1:18. Let's see. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What might give us an identifying remark of who he's writing to?
First fruits sometimes refers to Jews. It can also refer to those who are more sincere, I guess. So, again, it's not going to guarantee anything, but it could go a couple different directions.
Actually, I was also looking for a different phrase there.
The early Christians.
What phrase did it say there before we move on? Before we stop? No.
First.
What were they brought from?
The word of truth.
They're brought by the word of truth. You know, they were people who believe in Christ. They weren't just, you know, remember at this time there's Jews who believe in Christ and there's Jews who don't, who are persecuting them. And so these are believers, and we're going to have to stop there.